Hey, welcome back everyone to the Athlete's Mind podcast. It's been so long since we've actually done an interview in the studio. I've spoken to Talon about it before. I think the last one we did in here was with Sam Van Ruin, which was probably over a month ago, maybe even two months ago. So it's great to be back in here. I'm so excited for this episode. It's been a while in the works, but now correct me if I pronounced your name wrong on this, but Gerard Magister?
Is that Jared Magister, very close. But Body Magic, everybody knows me as Body Magic. Body Magic. So much easier. Yeah. How are we, boys? Well, thank you so much for having us. And yeah, sorry it's taken so long to actually get us in here and filming the episode. But very, very good, and love all the stuff that you're doing so far. It's very impressive. I've only been doing podcasting for, I don't know, about 18 months or something, and it's a lot of work. You guys are getting a much earlier start than what I did, and absolutely killing it. So very, very happy to be here.
Thank you so much. Like we said, you know, we understand, very busy man, very busy schedule. So we appreciate you taking the time.
No worries.
We've got some questions for you. I'll get Talon to start us off.
We'll go straight into it. What got you into the fitness industry? So I know you've got your own gym in the garage, you've got high level athletes there. Like, just what got you into the fitness industry?
You forgot to mention that both of you have also been in the highest part of my high level athletes. Yeah, that's right. So what got me into the gym to start off with? I was always into sport growing up, always played basketball, footy. My dad's really into the gym as well. So he was sort of a pretty big influence on me. And sort of early on, we'd be in the gym and doing little workouts and going for runs and, you know, playing sport and all that sort of thing. So it was definitely something I always grew up kind of doing. But I guess when it really became a big part of my life, and when I guess started seeing the improvement and having a big impact on me. So like during school, I actually had a really shit ass time during school. I hated school, sort of got bullied, didn't really quite fit in with a good group of friends, all that sort of thing. So the gym, when I was about 14, 15 is when I started to go. That was kind of my place that I'd go just to get on in, work out the sort of day of frustration and sort of just feeling a bit, shit from the day of school. And then I feel really good about myself. You know, you go in, you do a workout, I'm there by myself, I'm listening to my, music that I like. You walk out and you feel pretty good. And then I was doing that pretty much most days from about year 10, 11. And then in between year 11 and year 12, that's when I wasn't particularly tall, but then I got the big surge of testosterone between 11 and 12, right? And I had this big growth spurt, put on all this muscle, and I came back and I was the biggest fucking kid in school, and no one fucked with me from that. So it kind of just like started almost like at a bit of a, like a bit of a darker place, and that was like where I went to go work out my frustrations. But it's amazing that if I hadn't gone through all of that stuff early on, I wouldn't be here doing all the stuff that I'm doing now, working with athletes, have the business that I've got, doing my podcast, and doing everything that I've got right now is because of the gym. So it's pretty wild.
It's a big thing, I think, like getting into the gym, especially like, you know, you see a lot of people that have been bullied or, you know, maybe had sort of a hard like life. The gym can make such a big difference. Yeah. Like even with me, like, you know, I love going to the gym. It just takes your mind away from things. I think it's good. So that's awesome to see.
Absolutely.
So like you've just explained it all, that what were the sports that you grew up playing? Like,
yeah. So I was big into basketball, big into footy. Yeah. I wouldn't say I was a particularly very good. I wasn't like, outstanding. I was okay, but it was never anything particularly special. Probably lacked a little bit of the confidence as a kid. Yeah. I wish I was just a little bit more confident, but like I said, it was because of other things that were sort of going on. That's why I sort of had that mindset. But yeah, basketball and footy were my two sports.
But like the gym, like you going to the gym was just like, that's your happy place. That's where you like to
go
every day.
Exactly. So then I think that's why I'm so passionate about everything that I do now and working with all the clients that I do now. It's because I know, like I said before, what the gym has done for me.
Yeah.
It's literally changed my whole life. And it started from, a place that was a little bit darker, and it was hard, and that's where I'd go to work out my frustrations. But then it's turned into all these other amazing things. So, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
And why did you want to start making content on it? Like, how did that come to mind?
Yeah. So before, this was really when the start of Body Magic. So I've had Body Magic for maybe like 5 years. I think this is the sixth year now. I had some other PT businesses beforehand, so I've been a PT for maybe almost 9 years now. But before that, it was the, if anybody out there that's listening that is a PT or is going to go do a PT course or whatever, the first 2 years of you doing PT is so hard. Like, it's so hard. Same with any business. It's tricky to get a good base of clientele. You're trying to work your way around to start off with. You know, there's just lots of things to learn and lots of barriers in the way, and it's really difficult. And like, when you look at the stats of it, something like 75% of PTs don't last the first 2 years. So it's like, it's a it might be even more. It's 80 or something. It's huge, huge percent that don't sort of get past that first 2 years. So sort of in this like little bit of a turmoil bit, getting through, wasn't really, you know, having many clients and trying to work out what I was going to do with it all. And then I started training with, I was one more bad day and I would have quit PT. Like, I was just like, I was so over it, just so over it. Like, you'd be rocking up at 5 a.m. in the city to do a session that they've, you know, they forget that there's on, then you're sitting at 5 a.m. and it's raining outside, you're not getting paid for it. Like, it was just awful, right? Yeah. The amount of stuff you have to do early on for free and for nothing is just, you know, crazy. So I had all that to start off with and I was over it. And then my, it's now my cousin-in-law, so his name's Luke Whelan. He owns Perth Is Okay. Have you seen Perth Is Okay, the Instagram page?
Yeah,
so that's his company. So he's pretty big into the social media stuff. And we started doing some training and he gave me a message and he wanted to train every day for 30 days before he went to Europe. And I was like, all right, sounds good, whatever. So I had to drive from my place in Canning Vale all the way to his place in Frio every morning.
Oh, Jesus.
Every morning. It's 26 sets of traffic lights between there. I counted that them every morning, right? So go up and down, up and down. We were training every day. So we did this really intense 30 days worth of stuff. And every time that we would train, he would sort of just be like, oh, man, like he saw that I was really good at it and I really loved doing it. And he was just like, why don't you try doing some social stuff? Like, you know, why don't you put a photo up of you doing this, or put that tip that I just told him for that day, writing that in a post, or do a video. So sort of became a thing that like every day that we train, he'd sort of give me the thing for the day to go work on. So we did that. And then after the 30 days, he got this unbelievable result. He was like, my first, you know, 30 day challenge before and after result was really, really good. And then I posted that up and it just went nuts. So I went from having like, you know, a couple of clients to I had 12 fully booked and it was like, you know, it was $1,000 cash at the time to come do one of these. It was awesome. I was rich as, I couldn't believe it. Like, I'd gone from you know, struggling to get sessions to I was fully booked for the next 2 months. So that's when it really started, the social media stuff. And then I think you just like progress as well. Like, you know, you tried a video. When I look back at the videos I did 5 years ago, I go, holy shit, that's terrible. Like, there's stuff that, you know, the quality of the videos, the cameras that you're using, what you're saying, you're yelling at the thing the whole time. The production on it's terrible, all sorts of stuff. So it's pretty wild to sort of see the progression. And when you do everything, when you do something 5 times a week for 5 years or 6 years, you get a lot better at it. Yeah. So it's I really enjoy it now.
Even with like this podcast, so like Anthony and I, and mainly Anthony's only been going for just over a year now, and just going back to like his first ever video upstairs in his bedroom.
It's just
so funny.
It's just crazy when you put it back next to each other, you go, oh my god, look at the progression. It's good to see the progression though, isn't it?
It is, because I think like especially people getting into it, like they usually quit like early on simply due to the fact that, like you said, you know, you got to do the stuff that's hard when you start off, that's free. And, you know, there's a lot of sacrifice I think you have to make. But once you get to a certain point, like you mentioned, you're one bad day away from quitting. But then, bang, you know, just like that, things can change. So I think that's a very important life lesson.
Real quick, where did the name Body Magic come from? Did you just always have that name? Or like?
Yeah, interesting one. So a little bit of a backstory with it. So when I was working out with Luke and doing this challenge stuff, we were kind of thinking, oh, you needed it. It was GM personal training, you know, very, very boring, right? So like, we need a name. So we're looking at some of the other people that were sort of in the space, and there was a few people that had similar-ish kind of sounding names to what, you know, Body Magic ended up being. So my last name's Majda, so that's where the magic kind of came from. But why we thought magic was because I used to be really into card tricks and magic tricks. I loved to do like magician kind of stuff. So hence why I had no friends at school, obviously. You know, but I was really into card tricks and I was pretty good. I'm no good at it now. I'm a little bit out of practice with it. There's a couple of things I can do still, but I was really into that. And that's kind of what everybody knew me a little bit about, was doing the magic stuff. And then we kind of went, oh yeah, Bodie, we're just fiddling around. I think my dad actually came up with it in the end. He was like, oh, what about body magic? And I was like, oh, yeah, that could work. And it's just kind of stuck. So
yeah, and it is a very catchy name. I like it.
Yeah, good. Yeah. It's much easier to say than Jared Magdas.
Well, we had to ask you this next set of questions that are, when Talon and I were sort of organizing this whole podcast, we knew we couldn't go through a whole episode of you without bringing this up, and that is Love Island.
Yes.
Big part in your life. So the first thing I want to ask you is, what sort of made you want to go on Love Island? Did someone approach you about that, or was that something that you sort of wanted to do?
Yeah, again, funny story. So little bit to that goes back with Luke as well. So we're doing the Instagram stuff. One of the first segments that I was doing was this one called Meal Prep Fridays, which was me naked in an apron cooking videos. They're still up there. I used to do one every week, right? Fucking hilarious. Yeah. If only there was OnlyFans at that time, because I would have been making a killing. Seriously, I would have made an absolute killing. But I was putting this up like for free, like an idiot. So anyway, so we were, I was doing this content, doing like, sort of funny stuff and gym stuff and whatever, all the similar sort of things to what I was doing now. Nowhere near as good though, but, got a pretty good following going. I had about 10,000 followers, going pretty good, pretty happy with it all. And then I was recently single, and then Luke, who ended up doing some managing stuff for me for a little while, he was like, why don't you try to get on a show? Like, why don't we, like, because it was all going really well, like, let's, throw some fuel on the fire pretty much and, really blow up the socials and see if we can get you on a show. And then, like, the Love Island stuff's coming up soon, so he said, before we do it, go talk to your mum. Just make sure it's all good. I was like, sure. So I went to this cafe with mum just around the corner from our house, sat down, and I was like, oh yeah, mum, there's this show called Love Island. Like, this is what it's about. I'm thinking about like applying for it. They've just opened, blah, blah, blah. And she was like laughing or showing her clips. And she was like, oh yeah, sounds good. And as we're at the cafe, this is no joke, phone sitting on the table, and I have a look, and it's a message. Hey, Jared, this is whoever from ITV Casting Studios. We're doing the casting for Love Island. Wow. We've come across your account. We'd really love to do an interview. And I was like, oh my God, this is like, how funny is this? Like, what a coincidence. And then we went and did all the stuff from there. So, yeah.
How was the overall experience of that, being on reality TV and just on TV?
I fucking hated it. So like, it's not what it seems at all. Like, I'm very, very glad I went and did it.
Yeah.
I'm super grateful for all the things that have happened from it.
Yeah.
But doing it was so hard. It was like up until doing the Iron Man stuff I'm doing right now, that is the hardest thing I've ever really? Done in my life. Really? Like, it was so emotionally draining. Yeah. You're up on, you're not sleeping. It's in such a weird environment. I was away for 42 days. You don't speak to your mum and dad for 42 days. When's the last time you would never have done that in your life? Yeah. Nor will I ever do that again in my life. You know what I mean? Geez. So it's in this really weird environment. It's so stressful. You're emotional. You don't know anything that's going on the outside world for that whole period of time. No news. No, you don't know what the time is when you're in there. They tell you sort of when you're eating. You're constantly anxious and worried about what's going to happen. It's a really, really stressful environment. It looks nice and cool on the TV, but it's a seriously hard place to be. Yeah. So I'm glad I did it. What a, cool experience. And I can't wait to show maybe more so my grandkids would be much funnier. Like, imagine that, putting that on the screen going, look at granddad hooking up with all the girls. How funny is this? So, glad I did it, but never again.
Honestly, that some of that surprises me. Like, you completely cut off from the outside world. Yeah. Like, was some of the stuff, I guess, staged in a way? Like, is the stuff you see on TV like completely different to what was actually happening?
It's a tough one. So nothing is staged, so you're never told to do anything or say anything. So anything you do or say, that is 100% that's you going and doing that.
Yeah.
But on the TV, it doesn't sort of get the context right sometimes. Yeah. So not that it particularly happened to me. Like, everything that went on TV for me was all good. I was on my best behavior that entire time. It definitely can be taken out of context, or that, say, if we had a fight during the day and, we had some beef going on because we're trying to hook up with Talon or something and you're after him, whatever, right? Whatever the situation might be, they might show us fighting, yeah. but then it doesn't, you know, that looks, oh wow, what's happening there? But it was probably a whole day's worth of conversations, and this person said this and this happened and whatever. There's often lots of backstory to it all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard because it's a 50-minute episode and they're filming you 24 hours a day to get 50 minutes of TV. So, of course, they're going to miss stuff. But I think it's, some things definitely do get taken out of context a little bit.
Yeah.
But everything you say and do is 100% you. Yeah.
All right. So, while we're in the topic of Love Island, I've seen on your socials you have a mate that's been going through a couple speed dates.
Oh, how's that going? I've got some stories for you guys. This is so good. So glad you brought it up. So, I used to do quite a bit of support work. And I was coaching the footy team down at CBC, the All Abilities team down there, which is guys and girls with intellectual and physical disabilities. So I met this guy named Noel, and Noel's got Down syndrome, and we've got a great relationship going on. We did some, used to do lots of support work, and I don't really do that anymore just because, you know, work's got really busy, but we still hang out every Monday, just me and Noel. We go do some fun stuff, right? And we've been on this journey to find Noel a girlfriend. So this has been years. Like I've been doing this for probably 3 years, right? The first one we did was we made this Bachelor audition tape and we dressed him as the Bachelor. I'll show you after. Yeah. It's hilarious. It's really funny. So we made him the Bachelor and we did the voiceover, and then I did a Love Island audition tape for him. And we're just trying to get the word out there because I thought that maybe someone, whether it was there, a support worker or maybe as a family member, maybe someone out there would be like a good fit for him, but we didn't have anything. So up until just recently, we was trying to find other ways of how we can sort of get the word out of it, been doing a little bit on my podcast, on Fat Chat. Then one of my followers hit me up saying, oh, I run speed dating nights for people of all abilities. And I was like, oh my God. Like, yes. So there was literally Monday just gone. Yeah. We just went and did that. And it was so great. So it was like there was six guys, four girls. And Noel was so excited. He was ready at 9 in the morning, where I was picking him up at 5 in the evening. So he was ready all day in his suit. Yeah. We did some practice dates with some videos and stuff like that. But we went. It was the local in Freo we went to. And they do this thing. And you got like 10 minutes each person. You have a bit of a chat. And it was excellent. It was so good. So he definitely needs to work on his game a little bit. He was very happy chatting. It was really good. And the girls that were there were fantastic at keeping the conversation going. But he just needs to work on his back and forth a little bit. He needs to ask them a few more questions. Yeah. So that'll be the thing that we work on for next time. But the search is still on for a love for Noel. Yeah. So I'll have to keep you posted as to how we go.
It all comes with confidence. He's learning from the best.
So. Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. So we just got to try to get him just going a little bit more back and forth with the convos, and then it should be good. Yeah.
Okay. Back to the high level training.
Yes.
So currently you're doing Ironman. How's that going? Do you want to explain why you're doing it and stuff like that?
Again, funny story with it all. I stumbled into doing this almost. I sort of knew what I was doing, but then I really didn't know what I was doing at the same time. So I've got a podcast called Fat Chat, and I had an episode with former St. Kilda player Stephen Baker.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Stephen Baker? Yeah, Maybe a little bit before you guys. Anyway, hard guy. Like he's a hard player, one of these old school guys. He does a bit of PT work. He runs all these big endurance events and stuff like that. So I had him on the podcast, and he messaged me out of the blue. He was like, oh, mate, I'm putting together a team to do an Ironman. Do you want to do it? And I'm into the gym, right? I like lifting heavy and being powerful and strong and fast. So I went, no, like that is not what I'm into at all. Anyway, and then left it, and then hit me up again. He's like, oh yeah, we should do it. Mm. And I was like, no, but then it was just in my head that there was just something that kind of just gauged my interest a bit. So then before I did the episode, I was like, oh, I'm going to try to see if I can even just do some of these things. So I like went for a run, a swim and a bike ride, whatever. So I did a few of them. And then we did the app. And then I said to him, I was like, oh, mate, like you can, on the episode, you can try to convince me to, you know, do it. Thinking in my head, oh, yeah, I'll be part of your team. You know, the Ironman's a 4K swim, 180 bike ride and then a marathon. But he said there's a team of four. We'll split it up in four. I was like, oh, perfect, great. That's it. Like, but even then, I was thinking, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that or not. Yeah. But I thought, okay, I'll be able to train and get that. And then we did the episode, and I was like, oh, see if you can convince me. So we're talking, doing the whole thing. And he's like, oh, let's do this Iron Man. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, we should. Oh, no. Like the whole back and forth thing. All right, let's do it. And then we finished the episode. And then just before we finished the episode, he's like, yeah. So I said, what's the distances? And he told me the distance. Oh, but we split them into four because it's a team. And he's like, oh, no. Like, we're running it together, but we have to do it all ourselves. And I'm like, what? Like, are you fucking serious? Like, I couldn't believe it. Anyway, and then we go on, we finish the episode, and we get off, and then he goes, mate, that was really good acting. Like, how good? And I was like, bro, that wasn't fucking acting. I was like, I thought that it was a team, and now we're doing the whole thing. So, and then I started doing videos about it. Yeah. And the problem with me is I tell everybody too much stuff. So now that I've told everybody that I'm doing it, I have to try to do it. So, it's been the hardest physical training thing I've ever done in my life. It's so hard. So, like, during the week, I'm doing between 2 and 3 hours a day. So, like, Monday to Friday. And then on the weekends, they're 5 and 6 hour days. So like, it's like 20 hours plus of training a week. And it's gone from, like, up until doing this, the furthest I'd ever run without stopping would have been 7 kilometers or something. Like, I'm not an endurance person at all. It's just been a total opposite ends of the spectrum of where I was and what all the stuff I'm doing now. So I've changed about 10 kilos in muscle, and everything right now. So I'm usually a little bit thicker and a little bit more strong looking, but I look a little bit,
more lean,
deflated and lean and, withered away at the moment. But it's been, I'm looking forward to never doing it again. So ever. It's been a good challenge. It's been something different. And I think that doing stuff like this, there's people that I've met, my coach, the sort of the content I've been doing, the type of training, all that sort of thing. It's just gaining more skills as well. Yeah. So it's like things that I didn't know about all the endurance sports that I'm, you know, really becoming pretty knowledgeable about. Different training styles, how to keep yourself motivated, understanding sort of what a more actual professional load of, you know, volume is in terms of training and nutrition and all sorts of stuff. So there's a lot that goes into it. If I knew how much work I actually had to do, like when I said yes, even when I said yes and I knew I had to do the full thing, I was going, all right, maybe I'll swim once a week and bike once a week and run once a week. But it's completely different to what I thought it was going to be.
So Caleb Sarong, Luke Jackson, Nick Martin, Nick Kay, and many, many more elite level athletes. First of all, how did you like meet them and start training them? Like,
So I think the first AFL guy that I trained was the very, very first one was actually Xavier Ellis, right?
Oh, yeah.
So how that started was when I was driving to Frio up and down every day to train with Lou.
Yeah.
I'd have 92 on and he was on the 92 show and they were all always giving him shit for being fat. So they were always like fat shaming him the whole time, right? So driving to work, just driving, you know, to the sessions and back. And I thought that like, oh, I was sort of like almost like, oh shit, they're giving him a lot of hard, like a bit of hard time. I'm going to give him an email and just say, you know, I can train you and I can help you out if you want. So I gave him an email. He responded back and he said, oh mate, that'd be great. Like we could do it as part of a little bit of a radio thing. And I was like, all right, cool. Sounds good. So he was my first football client, how I sort of got the foot in the door with working with athletes and former athletes and whatever. So we did that. The goal was to get down to 92.9 kilos. He had to get down there. That was the station name. And we did that. And then from that, I started training with Sherrod Wellingham, who was still playing at the that point.
Yeah.
And then from there, I started training Brandon Matera that I knew from school. And I went to school with his brother. So he started training. And then Brandon was housemates with Sean. Sean Darcy. From there, it just sort of grew and grew because the guys were getting really... It's really just been from the results that I've been getting. Yeah. So I'm by no means the most qualified, like in terms of when you look at my resume and courses that I've done, certificates that I've got, all that sort of thing. By no means am I the most stacked in that department, but the results that I've been able to get with the guys, that's what's got me to the level that I'm at now. Yeah. And it's really just been results based, which I think is almost so much more important than actually, you know, going away and you can study all you like, but until you're actually training people, and you know what makes them tick, you know what how to motivate them, you know how to make them more confident in their abilities, you know how to push them, you know how to back it off, all that sort of stuff. That's it for me. That's where I'm really strong at. That's how I've been able to work with all these guys so far. So I think last preseason there was 25 guys from different AFL clubs that came on through.
Yeah.
I've got guys from the NBL that I work with as well. I did a few sessions about this time last year with Peter Bowl as well. That was pretty cool. He came and trained in the gym for a few times. Went and did a running session with him when I was a bit heavier and I was vomiting everywhere. It was also a pretty funny video. I have to show you that at some point. It's just sort of linked me to the next job. And then I think everything really started to blow up when I started to train Sean Darcy.
Yeah.
And he did really, really well after a few seasons of coming. Dropped some, the other thing is these guys are doing lots of stuff all year round. Yeah. So like they're meticulous on their diet side of stuff, their sleep, their recovery, all their training during the year, all this other stuff. And in the preseason, they're coming to me to maybe do, an 8 to 12 week block of some really hardcore stuff. So, cause you can work on different things in the preseason compared to what you can in season, because in the season, you're just trying to get ready for the game on the Saturday. Versus when you're doing preseason, you can just, flog yourself. You can smash stuff. You can lift heavy. You can do all the stuff because you don't have to really worry about recovering too much and performing on game day on the Saturday. Sean came in, did a really good one. And then I had Luke that came in, and that was the season before he won the Rising Star. Yeah. So he came on in the gym. We put on 7 kilos over 12 weeks or something like that. They were training together. And he came out and he had this breakout year. It was unbelievable. They won the premiership that year. And that's when it really started to pick up steam big time with the footy guys between Sean and Luke. And then it was guys like, Nick Martin that came through. He had another massive, he had his breakout year this year. Trent Rivers, I've trained Shea Bolton, Tyler Brockman, Caleb Sarong's come for a few years, who's, just won the best and fairest the other week. All these amazing, and so many more, heaps more as well. So super, super lucky, and just love working with the guys. And, you very much feel like you're part of their journey and experience and everything like that, even though it's only we're working for 3 months of the season, but fuck me, we go hard and we get some good results, and hopefully they learn bits and pieces off me that time.
You could have been the reason why Luke Jackson wanted to come home to Perth and play for the Dockers.
That's right. Sean and Luke would sort of cross paths in set, because I'd train maybe Luke in the morning and then Sean after, so that's how they first met, crossing paths at the sessions. And then when it was looking like that all was going to happen, they started training together last pre-season. So, it's great. They're great.
So recently, Nick Martin, the AFL, wrote a short article on you and how you train Nick Martin and all them. How does it feel to get recognised by the AFL and have a little article just about you and your pre-season training?
Man, it's wild. It is wild. Like, I'm sitting there going like, this is crazy. It's so cool. Every time that something like that happens, I just think it's cool. It is really cool because you just know that it's your number one. The most important thing about that is that the guys are really appreciative of the hard work that we put in. That's the thing that gets me most, right? And regardless if they come out and say it or not, whatever, seeing them perform well, seeing them do well, achieve their goals, anybody that I work with, doesn't matter if it's a weight loss client or one of the AFL guys, me being a part of that with you, I fucking froth it. That's like, it gives me genuine satisfaction just watching that happen. So when there's articles like that, it's just awesome to see. And like, I think the thing I like most about it is my dad, whenever my dad reads an article, that's my favorite thing. Must have been a really slow news day for sport because it was 2 years ago. I was on the front page, the full back page, and then a two-page spread in the middle of the West Australian training all the guys one year. And they called me up for the story. They're like, oh, we're going to run this story. Yep, no worries. So he did the interview thinking it's going to be a column on page 75 or something. That day was probably one of the coolest days I've ever had in terms of just me feeling like, oh my gosh, how cool is this? Because Dad, I did a session with Sean in the morning, and I walked inside and Dad still gets the paper delivered to him every morning, sits there and reads the paper, and he had the paper and he's sitting at the table and it's me on the back. I was like, what? That was pretty cool.
I mean, like, outside of not even just high level athletes, but I think it's really awesome. Like, how do you sort of feel seeing, even if it's weight loss clients, like, making a massive transformation and over time putting in the work and you see them reach their goal. From your perspective, how does that make you feel?
Oh, well, it's almost a little bit selfish how it makes me feel, because I actually get this hit of I've accomplished something every time that something like that's happened. So as much as I'm helping them, it makes me feel good. So it's it's almost like that's what drives me to keep getting up in the morning, give you the message, train you hard, make sure your program's sorted, all that sort of thing. Because I genuinely do get that feeling with everybody that I train. I've had clients that have come in and lost 20 to 30 kilos, like from, really big weight loss ones over, a year or a year and a half, completely change where they were from when they started to where they are now. Yeah. I've had people that, are young athletes that have come in and, like Luke and lots of other guys as well, that have sort of been able to give them lots of good guidance and advice. And then you see them just go nuts with it all is awesome. So it's on all different ends of the spectrum, whether it's weight loss, elite clients, I still get the same feeling of we did that together, and I'd feel genuinely that good when that happens. So I think that's why I'm able to, I put in a lot of hours, I do lots of, lots of extras, lots of all sorts of stuff business wise, but it's because I just froth it. I'm obsessed with that. I froth it. So
Like when Talon and I did a couple sessions of you,
you guys did very well. Except for the bike. You guys weren't much fans of the calorie bike.
That's what had it for me. Like honestly, walking back to the car after that, you can even ask Talon. I was like, I can't drive.
But just the advice you give is just like motivating. It is. And it's just want us to push and come again next week and all that.
So absolutely. Well, I think that, like I said, the gym has been such a thing for me that's it's changed my whole life, and everything I've got now is because of me literally starting when I was 14 or 15 years old going to the gym. So I know what the impact that making a good positive habit, a daily routine of that can do to anybody, and that's why I'm so passionate about doing it. So
Now I do want to ask you a bit about your social media career, sort of outside of just the fitness. You mentioned your podcast Fat Chat. You've become heavily involved in the whole podcast media industry. Was this something you thought you would ever end up in? Maybe younger you, did you ever think, I might want to go down that path sometime in my life?
Yeah, because I guess like thinking back on it now, I thought about this the other day. So at school, I was always doing speaking roles. In terms of writing stuff down, I'm not very good on, say English, right? Mm. Writing for me for English, no good. I'd just scrape by. If you get C's, just scrape by kind of thing. But when it came to speeches, oral presentations, or whatever it was, I think for most of my speeches, I got 30 out of 30 marks for all of them in high school kind of thing. So that's where I really excelled. I've always been, always love public speaking. I did debating at school, the school drama. I wish I actually continued to do drama. I actually really wish I stopped doing it in year eight, but I did.
It's good fun.
Yeah, I really wish I did more of it, but it kind of wasn't very cool in our school to do. It just wasn't like a thing like it is in other schools and what it's like now. But I was always into that side of things. So I don't think it was, mum and dad would always say, could always have seen you doing radio stuff or TV stuff or whatever. But realistically, did I think I was going to be doing stuff like that? Probably not. And I think that it's just been something that, again, it's just from doing the social media stuff, public speaking, just, getting myself to the next thing and progressing. But it's very impressive you guys doing this just coming out of school, because imagine what you're going to... How old are you guys? 17?
17.
There's 10 years between us, 9 years between us. Imagine the difference of your podcast skills and interview skills and everything by the time you're my age. You're going to be killing it.
Thank you. We appreciate that. But how has it been working with Backchat, such as Will Schofield and all those sort of guys? You're very involved with them. How's that been?
Yeah, it's been good. Well, it's the podcasting stuff is really difficult to keep up, because it's not just doing the actual interviews, the easiest part almost. It's the editing. Yep. You got to do the clips. You got to do, the edits on the audio. You got to do tee up your next one. You got to do the show notes, like what we're doing here. All sorts of stuff. There's lots more that goes into it than just doing the episode. So I think that it was actually getting to a point where it was pretty tricky for me to balance it all and do this long form kind of content with all the other stuff I had going on. So it came at a great time because I did an interview with Will and we sort of just got a bit chatting. And, you know, he was saying that, you know, they've got the Backchat Studios, which they've got lots of different shows that they do now. And we got chatting about that and we thought, oh, yeah, like, you know, that could be a cool thing that we sort of link up with. And they provide, you know, the producers, great quality equipment, give lots of good advice. They've got a great studio in Mount Hawthorne, all that sort of stuff. So it's really helped me level up the podcast quite quickly, which has been really good. And, yeah, they've been very helpful with... you know, their experience of having a really, really solid podcast that is Backchat and lots of really good advice all the way through. So, really looking forward to continuing to build it because I've only been there for, only since the start of the year. So, it's not actually been that long. And it's, really leveled up, you know, definitely. Teaming up with those guys.
And even like working like with Bryce Cotton, like we've seen a lot of content you've been making with him recently. You've made a program, the Bryce Cotton X Body Magic Basketball Challenge. Tell us and our listeners a little bit about that and, you know, if there's people that are interested, how they can sort of go about joining.
Yeah, most of them, I saw that you got your Bryce Cotton shirt on. Yeah,
favorite shirt.
Very good, very good. So, that kind of came about. We were just doing some content stuff together through Dammy Martin that I know quite well and done some stuff with before. And then... the videos that we were doing with Bryce where we were on this court, it was a really cool court, it was in Mosman Park, we're shooting at this guy's house and he was sort of teaching me some skills and drills.
Oh yeah, I did, yeah.
And so that was like what we were after. So we got all these great videos, but then we sort of got to just chatting because he was so good at teaching me, like I'm a very average basketballer. Yeah. He was so good at giving me great tips just little tricks and whatever and explaining all the drills. So... we got talking. I was like, man, we should do like a program because you were so good at doing this. And then it just, then we put it together and it happened. Yeah. So pretty much it's running currently at the moment. So there's skills and drills with Bryce. So we went to this court up in Wayne Garra, this private court, this most beautiful basketball court in the middle of this warehouse you've ever seen. It's so cool. And we filmed about 120 odd different skills and drills clips. So Bryce was on court for about 5 hours doing all these, various dribbling exercise and handle stuff and then shooting workouts, moves, showing you how to do hesitations into floaters, hesitation into a pull up, three, all sorts of stuff. So absolutely amazing. And working with him, so he is the best basketballer in Australia and to actually be working with him, fucking awesome, right? Just such a cool thing. But spending time with him on the court, off the court, doing all the stuff, oh my gosh, it just makes you appreciate how much of a pro he is, how amazing he is at his sport and his craft, all the work that he puts in. And I think the package that we put together was like just a really nice insight, and any level of basketball can really take a lot away from it. So really, really cool. And Bryce Cotton's my favorite athlete ever, so I can't believe that the first day we put that together, I was looking at it going, oh my god, that was like one of those moments, like with the newspaper thing. I was like, this is insane. Like, I could not have ever imagined that this was going to happen 5 years ago, which is crazy. So we've got the football program happening at the moment
I might have a go
Let's get you on the football program. We've got a lot of the Trinity. I imagine you got lots of Trinity listeners. Huh?
Chris Main shouted it out and gave it to us and how to sign up and all that. So
any listeners that want to do that, we've got it's a footy preseason program. We've got 3 gym workouts, 2 running sessions a week, an optional swimming day, and if you're in Perth, we're going to do like an in-person running session each week as well. So we'll catch up and do that. Weekly check-in nutrition plans based on all the stuff that I'm doing with the AFL guys and have done over the last few years. So there's limited spots for it though, so if you're keen to do it, make sure you go sign up www.bodymagic.fit. Go do that.
All right, so continue with the social media. Do you have any goals within the social media, maybe like potential guests you want to come on Fat Chat or anything?
I was actually, you've brought up so many things that I've just been thinking about recently, which is so funny. So I do really want to write a list and make it like my
podcast goal
hit list. That, yeah. And just, have you guys done that?
We have. I made one a while ago. Yeah.
Who's on your list?
Well, we actually ended up achieving some of them. Like really? we had Damian Martin.
We've had Damian Martin.
That's
Martin,
yeah. I haven't even had Damian Martin on yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, Bryce Cotton was on
Bryce
there.
Cotton's on
yeah.
List.
You know. Yeah. We had some others, but you know, obviously, like we haven't been doing it for too long, I think, to sort of make a realistic one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah. Probably just like we want to like probably. Even not even just pros yet, maybe people that are gonna become pro, like
AFL prospects,
NBA prospects. Like Anthony's got a couple, like Roman Sialipa, future NBA player, and he's got future AFL players that go into the draft this year. So that's been pretty cool.
Yeah, that's sick. Yeah, well, I really want to have a good sit down and think of like who is on the list of people. So definitely Bryce Cotton was like if there was top three. He would have been top three, so you can cross that one off. So I'm very happy I've been able to do lots of stuff with that. Matthew Pavlidge would be up the top of the list.
That'd be a very good one.
I have also reached out to Pav, and I haven't got any answers.
Yeah, geez,
so it happens to everybody. The amount of messages I send for people to come on podcasts or do content, whatever, and you get no response or whatever. I reckon I forget who I've even fucking sent stuff out to. I forget. I do it so much, and that's what you got to do.
Yeah, Anthony's very useful.
That's what you got to do. You just got to be persistent, and you just got to ask the question and actually just put yourself in a position to make an opportunity for yourself, which is exactly what you've been doing. And he made sure that I was definitely coming here with all of it, which is what you got to do. I appreciate it.
You got to do it.
Absolutely. So. I think Pav would be up there. Bryce would be there. I mean, if you could pick anybody, Ed Sheeran. Oh my God. big Ed Sheeran fan. Oh my God. So good. Michael Jordan would be insane. And there's a lot of other guys that I think that I would love to be able to tick off. One that was probably one of my favorite memories of doing a pod so far was with Ryan Crowley. I vividly remember getting a football in year four, and we went down to the Frio training session, and I probably only went down ever twice just because it was hard to get to. It wasn't as sort of fan friendly, early 2000s kind of thing. Went on down, Ryan Crowley came out and he signed my ball, and I remember it like so well, this whole thing happening with Dad. It was really cool. Then I knew him from, we had some nights out or something. I met him a few times on a night out, had some drinks, whatever. And then I went to go do this podcast. We never actually sat down and have a proper long conversation. So I go around to his place, in South Perth and go do this podcast. And we're like there having a beer. And the stuff I was asking was just so much nostalgia stuff for me. It was everything from when I was growing up, all my footy memories, everything that I was just like pouring out to him. And he was so funny. He was so great. He got blind by the end of the whole thing. He's drinking. I'm having a few drinks. It was, we're sitting in this awesome apartment that he's in, and I was just thinking, wow, this is cool. So that was a pretty special one. Yeah,
for sure. Now we do have a couple personal questions for you. We ask all of our guests these questions. We are getting towards the end here, but the first one I have for you is, with all the people that you have sort of looked up for advice throughout your life, who would you say is your biggest supporter? I'm sure there's a long list of people that have sort of helped you along your journey and been there for you, but if you could maybe narrow it down to a couple people, who would that be for you?
It's hard to really narrow it down, but I think that number one, my mum and dad, unbelievable. I'm still doing gym sessions out of the fucking garage. That just shows how supportive that they are of all of my stuff. So definitely mum and dad. My girlfriend Beck's been amazing through since we've been going out for almost 3 years, coming up 3 years. So supportive of all my stuff, whether it's my Ironman stuff, there's a lot of, you have a lot of highs and a lot of lows with doing your own projects and stuff. Like when stuff's going great, oh my gosh, it feels like you're on top of the world, the sense of achievement, you feel amazing. But the difference between that and bad days, oh my God, it's like this. I feel like I'm like this. And what I'm really trying to do is just get my bad days and good days to try to just bring them on a nice little medium sort of level. So I'm not sort of feeling these big highs and lows. So Beck's unbelievable. You know, all my family, my sister, Elise, she's always, really good with lots of advice. Luke, who sort of helped me early on, my business partner, Andrew. There's so many, all my close group of friends, all the footy. There's so many people. Yeah. I literally cannot narrow it down because there's so many people that help me with all these different areas. That I literally can't narrow it down. There's so many times that you get sort of helped up. And the reason why I'm here, sure, I work really hard and, you know, I've made the most of opportunities and created opportunities for myself. But without all these other people, it's pretty hard to do. And being on Love Island, probably the thing that I took out from that when I said, you know, you didn't speak to your family and friends for 42 days, the thoughts that were going through my head whilst I was away was, I feel like I'm not even me without my people, you know, like I feel like I'm not me without my family, my friends, you know, just, you know, all the people that support me and know me and that sort of thing. I just don't even feel like myself. It's pretty wild when you actually have that taken away. You think, shit, like I've got it pretty good. So. Yeah,
fair enough. And, you know, for other people, you know, maybe a younger version of you who want to get into similar things that you've been doing, whether that's the fitness industry, social media, podcasts, or athletes out there trying to make a high level, what sort of advice would you give them and tell them to do?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that I don't think that I have got anything that I'm extraordinary at, right? So like in terms of skill set, I don't think I'm, you know, athletically, I'm not the biggest person. I'm not the fastest person. I can't run the furthest. I'm not the smartest. I think I'm sort of just a little bit average on lots of ways. But what I do to, I guess, like counteract the average is I work hard and I'm consistent. They're my two things. So it doesn't matter what it is that I do, whether it's my gym, you know, fitness, training people, the business, podcast, whatever it is, consistency is the thing that gets me all of these opportunities, right? Because trust me, if I was not consistent in messaging people to come as guests, if I wasn't consistent in getting new clients, if I wasn't consistent in the results that I get for the people, all that sort of thing, if I'm not consistent in any of those areas, I'm not here. So it really is and as well as the Ironman stuff, I'm not built for doing an Ironman by any means, but what I have been is consistent. I've rocked up and I've ticked off every session that I need to do. So I think that's the big one.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, just showing up, staying consistent, working hard. If you narrow those three things down, that's very important.
And it's very much like you just got to enjoy the process of doing it as well. So like it is hard to keep yourself motivated on track and disciplined and consistent for something you really don't like. So doesn't matter what it is, if it's your work or gym or fitness, whatever it might be, you got to work out what's the stuff that you actually enjoy and make that thing that you're coming back to do so you can do it again and again and again and it doesn't feel like nearly as much effort.
Definitely. Now we just have a couple mental questions for you. Obviously this being the athlete's mind, a heavy topic we do discuss on here. With all the work you do, you know, across all different types of you know, fitness, podcast, social media, do you ever feel mentally burnt out, and how do you sort of manage that? Is there anyone you like to speak to, or is there anything you like to do?
Especially during the Ironman, I feel you'll get pretty mentally burnt, like you don't want to do it tomorrow or anything, so
yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Hey, there's been lots of times where I've been totally mentally fried. Start of the year was actually, I had a really rough start of the year. I got really down, really depressed. Had a really bad start of the year, so I went and saw a psychologist. Started on some antidepressants. I started looking at my sleep and really prioritizing my sleep and rest. And just sort of had to just get my balance in life a little bit more. And again, it was these highs and lows, because when the stuff was going really well, I'm flying and having the best time ever. But if stuff wasn't going well and, you know, I'm putting in as much work and effort and being as consistent as I can, and you're not quite getting the result that you're after, it gets pretty flat. Yeah. So that was the start of the year that was really, really tricky for me. So saw a psychologist, got some medication for that, was good, started fixing in terms of my lifestyle, timings and what I could, you know, dedicate for training for work and just sort of bringing myself back to a spot that I felt good. So that was really important. So I got that going start of the year, got on top of that, which was really good. And then more recently with doing the Ironman stuff, initially the Ironman stuff really helped me with the depression at the start of the year, because it was something that it was a new challenge for me. It was something that I wasn't really focused on, and there wasn't really any pressure for me to, if I did it, great, and I'd feel a sense of achievement. It was great. But you know, whatever, it's just something new to work on. So I really enjoyed it for that aspect of it to start on off with. And then as the training days got longer, and that sort of thing, that's when it sort of, you start to get a little bit more burnt out physically and mentally, just from the actual training side of things. So it's been really tough. I mean, again, even 2 weeks ago, I had to take 4 or 5 days completely off, because I was so fried. Like I was just, you know, because I was overtraining, I wasn't sleeping right. I wasn't eating correctly. All that sort of stuff, that big overflow effect that, that can very easily happen. So it's still a forever changing journey for me, and it is for everybody. Mental health and, you know, getting the most out of yourself mentally, being confident, getting a good routine. So it's a forever changing thing for me, and I'm, you know, always learning lots of stuff with it and trying lots of new things, but feeling really good at the moment, even though everything is really, really busy. Got all the training, you know, all this hectic training going on. I'm in a nice spot where I'm really enjoying the stuff, and I think that you just got to be able to work out the times that you're feeling like you're about to be burnt out, and then bring it back a little bit, and then, you know, you can work on other things in that time, and just sort of figuring out my schedule a little bit more. So and I think just trying to bring the highs and lows a little bit more together, that's something that I'm continuing to try to do.
Definitely, because I think like mental burnout's a big one, like everyone experiences it, like no matter what you're doing in life. I think it's
have you guys had some mental burnout sort of situations?
Like I guess for me and Talon it's a bit different. Like, you know, Talon's like very involved with his footy, and then like being at school and then trying to get an episode out every week, like trying to balance things, I think are definitely been a tough challenge for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone goes through it on different levels, no matter what you're doing. So I think it's just important, like you said, to realize when you might need to take a step back from things, and it's an important thing. But yeah, thank you so much. That's about
Good. This has been so impressive that you guys are doing this at your age. You're amazing at interviewing. It's been really good. And yeah, you've asked some really good questions and stuff that I was been thinking about for the last little bit. So really, really good, and look forward to all your next interviews, and can't wait to see you on a podcast with your own studio somewhere and a big production, even bigger production team. Sorry, there's already 10 people working behind the cameras here, but very good. Thanks, boys.
Thank you. Well, everyone listening, you know, Body Magic, go and check out his programs, his social media, everything.
I'll link football programs.
All the Trinity listeners, go and check that out as well. I'll link everything down below, and this will be out on all podcast platforms as well as YouTube. Cheers for all the support, everyone. See you in the next episode.
Thank you.